Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome to the walkthrough.
What's going on, South Harmon? Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for tuning in to the week 13 edition of the walkthrough. I am Matty Keum, and I am once again reunited with my boy here, my co-host Cody Carpentier. Cody, how was your Thanksgiving? How's everything going?
Brother, Thanksgiving was great. Had a good night. Tried to tap out completely from socials, from phone, from everything. I'll be honest, I didn't watch all of the football, but I watched a good portion of the football. Did some grilling, did some cooking, did some relaxing, did some gaming with my little brother and family. It was a good Thanksgiving, and we had the so I had to say, I bought the Boomer Box, the Weber Grill, because Alex convinced me to do it. He didn't really, but he had one, and I was like, man, I've always wanted to cook on one of these. Never have. So I went and bought one about a month ago. I've been rolling on it. I got this, the pellet grill, I got the Blackstone, and I got the Weber. And yesterday I made four lamb racks on the Weber. Ooh. That was what we had for our meat. I was going to do prime rib. I didn't do it. I didn't do turkey. Ain't nobody trying to do turkey on Thanksgiving. That's my rule. And I fired up the Weber and put four lamb racks on there. I didn't do much. I didn't have to do much. And boy, will I tell you, these things was mighty, mighty fun, Matty.
Oh my God. This guy's been living in South Carolina for 2 days. He's already adopting the no turkey down South rule. That's a down South thing, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't had turkey on Thanksgiving in like, I don't know. I guess probably. I mean, I guess Virginia's technically down south too. I guess it's been at least like 6 years since I've eaten turkey on Thanksgiving.
See, you know, up here in the Northeast, we're descendants of pilgrims. That's disrespectful, not having that gobble gobble turkey. Plus, you know, when you start the day by playing the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song for the kids, you know, they get pretty fired up about turkey. So, but it was a good day. Good day of football. That night game is the game I probably, you know, I'll admit I tapped out and went to bed. After you have so much tryptophan in the turkey, you have so much pastries and all these things. And the game wasn't that good. 30-17, Packers win. Tua looked pretty good in the cold, at least for fantasy purposes. But
yo, what the hell is this? Is this Jonnu stuff, man? I mean, it's been a flash in the pan his whole career. And now all of a sudden, like Jonnu's just gonna, is he gonna end up with a rack and lead this team in receiving?
Yeah, because what has happened, I don't know if it's by design or inadvertently, what happened is Tua only could throw over the middle. We've known that since the day he was drafted, that he can't make it to the – he doesn't have the arm to throw to the outsides. He's really a downfield or over-the-middle guy. And for whatever reason, they decided to bring in someone to take over that role, take it away from Tyreek Hill. And that, you know, what is – he's just going to now start throwing it outside because Tyreek Hill's on the outside more? No, still going to throw it over the middle. He's going to find Jonnu Smith, and it's one of those blinder things that, you know, as a fantasy gamer myself, not even a content guy, just a gamer, was should have been all over, should have way more shares of Jonnu. I have a couple shares for the teams that I was streaming at tight end, just didn't let him go after I picked him up. But, man, We should have saw it coming. But it was kind of weird. It's kind of weird. It's still – I mean, it's not – I would say that the team isn't mad about it because they were winning previous to last night. But now they've lost. I don't know. If you roster Tyreek Hill, though, and you took him in like the first round, you're not happy. You're not happy. And I got to ask you this, Cody. I know we're already in the weeds. We haven't really gotten started into the week 13, but, you know, we'll get there. Are you now going to be ranking Tyreek outside of the Tyreek Hill zone? Because you and I are on record both saying that we refuse to rank him, you know, where he probably should be ranked. But now are you coming around now? Are those days over? There's no way he's going to be a top eight guy for you weekly.
No. Yeah, I'm past putting him up into that conversation. It's funny, like last week I wasn't on the walkthrough because I was in Texas and the schedules didn't align. And you did it, and I'm kind of mad because of this one single topic, one single thing that I wanted to talk about you with last week with Jalen Waddle, because I broke my own rule of having him at 35. Right, we did it for like a month straight, mm-hmm. and last week, for whatever reason, I felt good about this matchup with New England, and I ranked him 12th.
Nice.
And I'm sitting here in the rankings with, you know, I got Alex and Trashman in these rankings and the model. So I think it was Alex and Trashman had him like 31. The model had him 51 and I had him 12. And so it didn't mean anything because we weren't like, it didn't make us bullish. It just me and the model just evened it out and put him right back at 30 anyway.
Right.
And he had a great week. And I was like, man, I couldn't even. It is what it is, but I'm mad that I didn't get to have that conversation with you because I thought that was interesting, and I was going to see where he would go, and of course, he went back to zero because obviously we got the Janu, you know, 100-yard game or whatever, and then Tyreek Hill does his stuff in garbage time, and two of those were 350 yards, and Jalen Waddle can't get it done.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, it was we got 1 week out of Waddle, and that was 1 week Waddle, whatever.
Yeah, and that was a week we didn't really get Tyreek Hill. And, like, you know, to be clear, we're not talking about Tyreek having a dud game, but 6 catches, 80 yards, he has a touchdown. Puts him over 20, but that's not what
we're until the fourth quarter.
He was done. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's get into the week 13 slate, minus the Black Friday game, minus the Thanksgiving games. Let's just jump into the Sunday slate. We're going to start in the dirty South. When the Los Angeles Chargers take their 7-4 record over to play the 6-5 fraudulent Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are getting a point at home. The over-under 47.5 is pretty exciting. We're happy about Justin Herbert. We're happy about Ladd McConkey. But let's start the running back position for the Chargers. Gus Edwards, a full go-go. A little bit of Kimani Vidal. How are you kind of sparsing out this Chargers backfield?
Gus Bus, baby, came off the IR a couple weeks ago, got a couple carries, got a couple opportunities, screwed me over on a prop on Monday night, but that's okay. I'll forgive him as he goes up against the Falcons this week. I get him up to running back 22 with J.K. Dobbins on the mend. Hassan Haskins is there. I hope we get some Kimani Vidal, but you know, Hassan Haskins was a former Michigan Wolverine, I guess. Not too bullish on this running back situation. I do think that they have the ability to lean maybe a little bit more on the pass than they have, I guess, over the course of the season. They can do this for a couple weeks, especially against a bad defense in the Atlanta Falcons. So I like Gus Edwards. Don't love him. They got a tough little stretch here coming up with their schedule. So I like that. On the wide receiver spot, though, I got Ladd McConkey in a juicy, juicy matchup here with the Atlanta Falcons back end as a top 24 play. Got him at wide receiver 21. I'm just wondering if you have the armless Quentin Johnston to the top 40.
Quentin Johnston, I don't even know who that is.
The video I saw from the internet was a human with no arms and a helmet on running and then getting thrown the football.
I have Quentin Johnston at wide receiver 64. He's dead to me. I needed him last night. Last week, for whatever reason, on Monday Night Football, I thought the matchup was so good. And to be honest, it was. He had five, six targets, didn't catch a damn one of them. Had a few of them clank right off the hands, including a wide open 30-yarder, 40-yarder. And just, he is who we thought we were. I mean, he is who we thought he was. He sucks. And they will be looking wide receiver some way, shape, or form. Could it be a landing spot for T. Higgins? I don't know. That's a talking point for another day. But as far as the Chargers go, we've kind of gone through everything. Let's just finish real quick on Will Dissly. Where do you have him? He's been good, not great. I kind of have him like mid tight end two range. Where do you got him?
pretty much mid tight end too. Got him in 21st overall. I think there's a bevy of guys that still take over him. Whether it's Zach Ertz, I mean, you had Tucker Kraft who played last night. I think he's right in that Dalton Schultz area. Mm-hmm. Who else would I play?
Would you play Taysom?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, okay. For sure. Taysom's a top five play, I think, at the position. Like, I think he just has to be.
I'm waiting to see it one more time. We'll talk about Taysom when his game pops up. But yeah, he's going to be either a hero for many, many teams, or he's going to be an absolute.
That's what he is, right? We'll talk about him, but what he is.
No doubt. And it's okay. He's a tight end. It's not bad. But let's switch on to the Falcons side of things. So for the Falcons, obviously Bijan, all I have to do is say the guy's first name. You don't need to know anything more than that. He's top five play for me. Where do you got Bijan?
Bijan Mustardson. Bijan Robinson. Got him kind of, I think, low, I guess you'd say, per consensus, but it's a tough matchup, bottom five matchup on the roster watch matchup tool for Bijan. I got him at running back 11 this week. I just think there's a group of guys that I would rather have. And I guess the two guys that I'm lower on, and I'm going to stay lower on Christian McCaffrey because I'm not there. I don't think this team is as good as it was. I'm not sure that they're going to push him to the brink as much as they used to. And I think a lot of these other guys are, you know, I'm more interested in. I was more interested in playing Montgomery than I was of either of these guys. I was more interested in playing Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Devon Achane, than I was of playing Bijan Robinson this week in that matchup against the Chargers. So, like him, but I'm definitely not bullish.
Yeah, makes sense. But you're playing Bijan. Now, let's go to the pass catchers, because here's the thing that I need to bring up to you, my friend. Should we be fading our Falcons? Because the passing defense for the Chargers, it's, you know, really good this year. They've been causing fits for opposing teams. And here's a stat that I found on pro.nfl.com that I found very interesting, and it made me very nervous, and I probably will change my rankings to reflect this neuroses. The Falcons have scored 17.2 fewer points per game in losses. They've only scored 12.8 points per game in losses. When they win, they score 30. I think it's tough to project a win here. So if we're projecting a loss, can you even play Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Kirk Cousins if we're penciling them in for potentially 12 to 15 NFL points?
I think you can. I'm of the belief that Atlanta's not a good football team. And
we have them on the fraud list for a reason.
We got him on the fraud list on the hurdle on Tuesday nights over in South Harmon YouTube channel. I think London's going to be fine. He'll get there, I think, on targets. He's averaging about 8 a game. Mooney's a little banged up right now. Mooney, I feel fine about. Got him right at the fringe of wide receiver 3. He's averaging 7.5 targets per game. Like I said, I'm just right there kind of on the fringe. I guess the one that I'm probably the lowest on this passing game is Pitts. Brutal, you know, tougher matchup, I guess, of the positions, of all three skill positions. So I guess to say I'm fading the whole thing, I would say no. To say I think it's probably going to be, if I had to bet on one person, it'd probably be London to get
the
targets.
I agree. I am just outside of the wide receiver 2 range. He's definitely a play in most formats, in most lineups. Like you said, the 8 targets, that'll be enough to get you there. I'm kind of down on Mooney. I got him wide receiver 39. If I knew that Downs was healthier, he'd be ahead. I would play Judy. I'd play Cedric Tillman potentially in a tough matchup on Monday night. So, and same thing, I feel the same way about Pitts. He's outside of my top 10. And depending on how we talk about this Saints matchup here in a little bit, I might move him below Mr. Taysom Hill. The next game that we will talk about in the Week 13 slate is a divisional game in the AFC North. The 8-3 Steelers head to Cincinnati to play the 4-7 Bengals. Pittsburgh is getting 3 points on the road. Bit shocking there. Over under 47.5. Again, shocking there. I just want to start with your overview of this game. This is a premier black and blue divisional game. The favorite, or I should say the better record, is getting points as road underdogs. And the 47.5 over under is high. Is that just being driven by the potential of, you know, the Bengals offense, or can we expect a little bit more back and forth scoring than we're used to in the AFC North?
Yeah, I think it's driven by Cincinnati's ability to score points on offense. But also, you think about the Steelers. The Steelers obviously didn't have a great game last week against Cleveland in a snow globe, but they still scored points and they still were able to drive the ball. And Russell Wilson just still showed competency. The interesting thing is like the Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh defensive thing. Like the sports books obviously believe in Cincinnati's offense enough to say, well, they're better than this great defense. Mm-hmm. Which I think is the bigger tale, because I think I feel pretty good about Pittsburgh scoring 20-24 here. And they're telling us that they believe Cincinnati is probably good for 20-24 as well. Both teams probably a little bit more than that if you're telling me the number's 47.5. So
that's right.
24-24 is 48. That's a tie. You can't have that. So I would venture to believe this is going to, I mean, it's going to be a black and blue game. I don't know what I'm beating around the bush for. It's going to be a good game. I do think they're going to score enough points. I'm not sure it's going to be a 30-30 game type of deal, but I could definitely see it being 23-20 with 4 minutes left in the game. That last drive maybe matters the most, and that could potentially take you over from the 43 to the 50. As far as this game goes, though, I think my biggest question and biggest thought here is trying to figure out the Jalen Warren thing. Najee Harris has been fine, not great. Got him as a back-end RB2, but Jalen Warren getting more and more work. He scored a touchdown last week. Are you surpassing Najee with Warren, or are you back-to-back? I'm back-to-back, side-by-side.
I'm basically back-to-back. I think it's a difference of four spots. the gap is narrowing, but what I want to see in a game like this is a game where – because the Jalen Warren touchdown was the difference in fantasy scoring last week, and it came late. I don't know. It feels like when they were winning, they were giving a lot of Najee touches. I don't know why they'd get away from it. So I'm not quite yet ready to flip it. But Jalen Warren's coming. And I think they're both, you know, okay plays. I have them both inside my top 28 at running back. But if you were depending on Najee, man, I would start looking for other arrangements if possible. Because it seems like Jalen Warren's coming. And in PPR formats, he's the one that's getting the cheap points. You know, he's getting the two or three targets on top of it. So this gap is narrowing. I still have Najee ahead, but I'm not planting my flag on that remaining for the rest of the season. No way, no how. It's getting too razor sharp, too close, given where, you know, kind of the usage and kind of the fantasy point output and what's instituted and who's getting the goal line. Because I would have assumed, right, that of course Najee's getting it. Nope, Jalen Warren got the goal line last week, and that is tough. So I have Najee just spot ahead. You said you have him back to back. Who do you have on top though?
I got Najee ahead, 26, and Jalen Warren 27.
So you and I are essentially in lockstep in terms of where we're going to be ranking. We're going to be expecting these guys to play. In terms of the pass catcher, I mean, this is a pretty straightforward rankings game for me. Chase Brown's been so good in this role, so I have him in the top 12. That's, of course, coming after the updated, you know, taking out everybody from yesterday. So that's three running backs, four running backs, five running backs potentially ahead of him that have now been removed. So he's going to be at 12. I love Ja'Marr Chase. Can Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins both be successful in this tough matchup?
I'm not sold on that. I'm not sold that they can both be, I guess, wide receiver ones would be the way I would look at that. Like if that's what you're inferring or asking, I don't even know if that's really what you're asking, but my thoughts are, that's kind of where I look at like the Philadelphia duo. You look at the Rams duo, you look at the Seattle guys with DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith, like Higgins and Chase. Like that's when I think of two guys coexisting, it's like, I want them both to be Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, both being top 12 guys. We don't get that. Generally, I think one of these guys can pay off as a high end wide receiver one, but the other one's not. I think the other one's going to be somewhere in that middling, to back end wide receiver two area. I actually have Chase a little bit lower. I don't have him as my wide receiver one this week. Alex Trashman, the model, all love him. Not a great matchup with the Steelers. I think they do have some physicality on the outside. He's going to get targeted, but I like other players, Nico, A.J. Brown, Puka, Justin Jefferson, rather than Ja'Marr Chase. And then Higgins is just by himself down there in, I think, wide receiver 14 spot.
Yeah, I kind of have it similarly ranked, and I had to make an adjustment because I had both wide receivers in my top 12. And then I looked and I noticed that Joe Burrow was outside of my top 10. And I said to myself, well, you can't have two wide receivers in the top 12 and have the quarterback who's been that prolific outside of your top 10. So I had to make the adjustment. I got T. Higgins at 17. And so I'm playing, you know, both wide receivers. And then, of course, Joe Burrow, like I said, I have him outside of my top 10, but you're still playing him. He's still a QB1. He's still one of those guys. He's just on an absolute tear this year. So, yeah, that's where I have it. George Pickens, we're going to end it there, this game. Where do you have Pickens? This is kind of the last of the real fantasy-relevant guys.
Speaking of top 10, GP, baby, number 9. GP, big game here against Cincinnati. Big game this week.
Yeah, I got him at 7. I think he could go – I think he can go pretty bananas in this game. I think he's poised for a massive, massive, massive game. Good matchup, good divisional game. Plus, just with the comments he said last week, he was under a microscope. I have to imagine that Mike Tomlin is going to push him and really just kind of make sure that he backs up his words, you know, kind of basically calling Cleveland Brown soft and that they weren't good and that they got lucky because of the snow and yada, yada, yada. Feels like to me a guy like that will bounce back. He will play, you know, a bit hungrier, a bit more ferocious. And, you know, he's the menace for a reason. So I think we see a big, big game out of him. I'm excited to see him, you know, a divisional opponent with a good matchup, right? That's not, the secondary's Cam Taylor-Britt. He's just, I don't think he's going to be able to stop him. I don't think he's going to be able to stop him. So I like him this week for sure. Another divisional game here on the walkthrough as we get through the week 13 slate. 7-5, Houston Texans head to Jacksonville to take on the 2-9 bottom feeders. And Doug Peterson didn't get fired, right? Did he get fired?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did not get fired. So he's still there. Matt Eberflus, as of 9 a.m. on Friday morning, has yet to be relieved of his duties, and it has me wondering. I guess these franchises just aren't serious operations. But anyway, the game itself is a bit... The point spread to me is shocking because the Texans are only laying 3.5 points as road favorites. The over-under of 43.5 is not enticing for fantasy football. What's up with this spread, though? Let's just start here on a betting side of things. Are we hammering Texans only giving up 3.5? Or do we think that Trevor Lawrence coming back off the bye can keep this game close?
I think they can play muddy. I do think Jacksonville, if Trevor Lawrence is actually back and healthy, I think that Jacksonville can play Houston muddy. We've seen our teams do it. Even Tennessee last week beat them 32-27. Gosh, dyslexia at its finest. 32-27. I don't get it. I don't think Houston is like full-blown the Falcons, but I think that they're kind of equals on opposite sides. I think a couple weeks ago we talked about Denver and Atlanta was my thoughts being similar. I believe way more in Denver now than I do Atlanta. I think I believe Houston and Atlanta are kind of both bullshit. I tend to just lean and want to believe Houston's more real than they aren't because of the money they spent in the right places. They got the running back. They got a good young quarterback. They got the edge rushers, et cetera, et cetera. They got the stud receiver. But too many of these games, they drop to the Jets. They drop to the Titans. I don't get it. They got blasted by the Vikings earlier this year. They had a close loss to the Lions. You know, they blast the Cowboys. It's kind of Cardinal. It's kind of giving Cardinal or giving Falcon, I guess you'd say, if you were in the new age clique, I guess. But I don't know. They got a bye week coming up. This is a big one. If they fall here 7-6, not saying they're going to lose any ground or anything because it's pretty much their division to walk on. But, Maddie, the back end of the schedule – could get a little dicey here if the Dolphins Dolphins are playing better football. They're not winning everything, but they're playing better football. You got Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, and then you finish out with the Titans, who you just lost to. So not exactly a walkthrough for the Houston Texans. Speaking of the walkthrough, that's where we're here right now. And I will just say my wide receiver won this week in this game, Nico Collins, the last two games against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 24 targets, 19 receptions, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's my wide receiver one on the week.
Well, my friend, you got Nico Collins at number one. I have him ranked in my top 5, so I'm believing in what you're believing. But there's another thing. There's another aspect of this matchup that I think is a big deal. It's the fact that Nico Collins – has the third highest cuck score this week. And if you're unfamiliar with cuck score, get hip. This is cornerbacks under constant chaos. And if you want to see the cuck score, you want to take advantage of these bad matchups and these good matchups for wide receivers. You got to get into the pregame poop tier on patreon.com/Salt Harmon. Get it. Cuck score taking the nation by storm. And it completely corroborates your love of Nico Collins. So, of course, he's going to be ranked high. Joe Mixon, he's a perennial stud. Ain't nothing to say about it. You put him in your lineup because the volume, the efficiencies, the dude looks 25 again. So you got to let the boy rumble. Let him keep rocking. Let him keep rolling. But the last question I'm going to ask you about the Houston Texans offense before we talk about, I guess we can talk about the Jaguars briefly. Tank Dell. Is Tank Dell Tank Dud with Nico Collins back?
Tank Dusty?
Is he Tank Dusty now that Nico is back and has the crown placed softly on his head?
Man, I'm not quite ready for that. I mean, he had 70 yards last week, 50 the week before that. I'm not sure he's Tank Dusty quite yet. I still think there's enough gas left in the tank, preferably. He just doesn't have the touchdowns. Last year, he had a couple more touchdowns. This is the number one matchup on the matchup tool against Jacksonville. Tank Dusty, give me one more week.
And this was the game he had like kind of that coming out party as a rookie last year. Two big touchdowns against the Jaguars. I agree. Give the man one more week. I got him just outside my top, you know, my wide receiver two range. Again, with all the edits, all the players coming out from Thanksgiving, he moves up to wide receiver 28. He was just outside of my top 30 before that. But I'm still going to go back to it. Like, I mean, I think for me, Tank Dell or Deebo Samuel, who you taking? I got Dell.
I got Deebo. I got to go Deebo there. I can't skip on Deebo.
Deebo looking like Unk, if you know what I'm saying. He looking like he looking like
the big Deebo.
He's looking like Unk. He's looking like not only did he go up for seconds, he went up for thirds, maybe even fourths. I'm not trying to besmirch the good man's name. He's a great player.
I don't give a shit. He already blocked me on Twitter, so he's not going to see it anyway.
He did? Why? What did you say about
him? He blocked me on Twitter like 3 years ago for no reason. I've literally never even tweeted his name. And I went to look him up one day for some reason. I was like, oh, yeah, I bet Deebo has this night at 19 problems. I go to his page, blocked. I was like, what? What? Yeah, dude, at 19 problems on Twitter. Been blocked for 3 years for no reason. I've literally never said anything negative about Deebo. I love him. I think he's a dog.
You do. You are a perennial supporter of Deebo, no doubt. He hasn't blocked me. Oh, that makes me feel like I'm not significant. Maybe I should start talking shit. No, just kidding. Shout out to Deebo. Shout out to Deebo. But I'm going Tank Dell slightly. Now, last thing I'll ask you in terms
of... I'm going to move Tank ahead of him. Fuck that.
It's close enough. I guess that's the point. Tank Dell or Jordan Addison coming off a big, big week?
I got Tank. I got Addison at 32.
And Tank where?
22.
Yeah, so I'll go and Tank over Addison as well. So we're not done. It ain't Tank Dusty quite yet, but maybe we'll be approaching that territory soon. Anything about the Jaguars you really want to talk about? I guess what we should talk about is, are you going to play Travis Etienne, or are we just done with all Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, Doug, I'm not touching anything in Jacksonville except for Brian Thomas. Like, Brian Thomas is the only thing, and I know he had a little ache. I'll make sure he's a Hunsky. He's good. It looks like he's going to.
But we can say this. If Mac Jones is the quarterback, we're not playing everyone.
Oh, if Mac Jones quarterback, you're not touching anything with anything.
You're not touching a soul.
Brian Thomas, though, would be the only one. And then also Evan Engram. Yeah. You know, that's straightforward stuff, though.
Yeah, I hate the situation at running back. And I hate the fact that Travis Etienne, who I love this year, has been absolute dud. Let's move on to a game that has real big playoff ramifications. Should be a good one also. Arizona Cardinals, who were lost last week but now 6-5, head to Minnesota to take on the 9-2 Vikings. Vikings are giving 3 points as home favorites. Over under 45 suggests that Vegas sees a little bit more defense in this game than I think us fantasy gamers were hoping for. Let's start with the visiting Arizona Cardinals. Of course, we love Kyler Murray. He's a weekly play. But Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he is getting into bust territory for this season, not dynasty bust, not, you know, you're getting out of your shares. But for our seasonal leaguers out there, or people who we're hoping he would be the driving force of a rebuild. Marv's kind of looking like a bust. I got him at wide receiver 16. And again, this is after multiple wide receivers ranked ahead of him. This is a guy that I don't feel comfortable ranking inside my top 20 on a weekly basis. What say you about Marv Jr.?
Yeah, I don't know if I've had him in the top 20, maybe a couple, three times this year. He's not on the verge of a bust. He's a bust for where you drafted him. Yes, he's gotten some touchdowns, four of which came in the first 4 weeks of the season, but he's a bust from where you had to draft him. You remember where he got up to? He was getting up in the, was he like round two, early round two area?
No, people were, I don't mean to get so high-pitched squeaky over a handful of spots, but people were drafting him, especially in the best ball streets, at like the 111 and then hitting that Puka on the 2-2.
I mean,
he was going in the Garrett Wilson range.
I know.
You were having to make that decision between him and Cooper Kupp. It was, you were taking him at the back end of round one, early round two.
I know he wasn't going like 2-1, 2-2, but I mean, you spent the first round pick on him. You deserve to take the L on that, but 2 100-yard games this year. Marv is just not, and I don't even blame, you know, Kyler or this team or whatever. Like, Kyler is playing good football right now. This is a good matchup this week against Minnesota for Marv. So it wouldn't surprise me if he had a good week, but there's just a lot of talent around him. And, you know, talk about Trey McBride. Trey McBride's a freaking stud, dude. This guy's, you know, pulls in and deserves his 8 targets on a weekly basis. And there's a reason for that. So Marv is fine. I think he's going to be fine long-term. You should have never drafted him as high as you did. It is what it is. I got him a wide receiver 31 this week, back-to-back with a guy in that same game, Jordan Addison. This is a good fantasy game. Those guys back-to-back. McBride, I got at tight end 2. Hockenson, tight end 3. I think this is going to be a good game from a scoring standpoint. I think the last time this game happened in Minnesota, it was like something like, I want to say it was like 29-27 or 39-27, and it finished off with the thing in Xavier Rhodes' 90-yard touchdown return on a pick. I think Kyler was playing that when I was at that game, and these are just two teams that have the makings of a good game that's going to end, you know, in the witching hour, and a lot of yards, hopefully a lot of touchdowns. I think you're good playing anybody in this game, all the way down to as a flex option. This is going to sound maniacal, but I've been on this as a flex option for the last like month. I think Cam Akers is a guy that's literally playable in more formats than people, I think, you know, want to accept when you're looking at things that are at hand.
He is a touch. I think this game for me, I'm hammering the over. I'm sorry. 45 seems low to me. This feels like a game that could get out of hand because both teams can push the pace. I will say this about Marv. I'm looking over at the Cuck score. He's in the negatives. He's outside of the top 50. It's not a good matchup. Even with the secondary of the Vikings not being all that good, he's still going to get a lot of Stephon Gilmore. And Stephon Gilmore's been pretty good this year by himself. And I don't know if Marv's – I don't know if he's got that dog in him, brother. I don't know if Marv has that dog in him to beat a vet and beat a vet like Stephon Gilmore on a regular basis in this game. I think that they can score, but I think that they score a lot with McBride, with James Conner, with Kyler Murray. Of course, Marv's always a threat to score. But, yeah, I think fantasy-wise, we're kind of not fading anybody here. This seems like a pretty good one. Now, this next game, I might not feel the same. The 5-7 Indianapolis Colts come to my neck of the woods to take on the 3-9 hopeless New England Patriots. Things are getting so bad here in New England. Most fans have turned their attention to Juan Soto and the potential of him signing here in Boston. People are already kind of talking about what they're going to do in the draft. People are already talking about what we're going to do with Mayo, but at least they have Drake May. And this
see Juan Soto sign with the Twins?
Yeah, that's not even thought of. That's not even going to potentially happen. But the Patriots, they're getting 2.5 points at home. Over under 42.5 is really just driven by Drake May. We keep saying it week in, week out. This guy has brought a lot of projected implied totals up. If this was a Jacoby Brissett game, we're looking sub 40. But the defense, I think the defense is negatively affected by May's ability to push the offense and try to and actually be a little more fun. I'd like to hear your thoughts here on Richardson. Let's start with the Colts. Richardson, since being back as the starter, had a nuclear game and an absolute dud of a game. Will we see any consistency out of Richardson rest of season, and where do you have him ranked this week?
I just want to know if Alex Dunlap and Matt Kelly are going to talk about me on this week's show in regards to Anthony Richardson, because last week I just happened to hear a show that they do called Content Kings, and they're going through quarterbacks and they're saying, you know, oh, rankings, da 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 da. And they start talking about Anthony Richardson. They're both like, oh, yeah, he's a top 10 play this week. And Alex is like, yeah, Cody's got this cockamamie ranking of Anthony Richardson at quarterback 18 this week. And I got to talk to him. I got to get this thing fixed. And Matt's like, well, that's wrong. And I da, da, da. And they went back and forth for 10 minutes. It's like these people forget who the Detroit Lions are or something, or they forget that one-hit wonders happen. Like, you can have one good game, and it's not guaranteed you're going to have a second consecutive good game. He had a career-high 67% completion percentage in a game where he threw the ball 20-plus times, 39% completion percentage in a game against Detroit, quarterback 21. He's not ready yet. Man, he's working on it. He's working on it, but he's not ready yet.
Yeah, I got him at quarterback 13 this week.
Player, the prospect, the human. I got him higher this week. I moved him to what do you say you had 13?
13.
I got him at 11 this week.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a Bayesian freaking process.
You love that.
You got to float. Stay with the water.
That's right. But let's use that. So we have him, you know, as a for sure play in Superflex, probably a fringe play in our one QB formats. But let's use the talk of the quarterback to talk about his pass catcher. Michael Pittman. We've seen a little bit more out of Pittman recently. Are we excited about that? Is that something that will translate week to week? He's got a tough matchup against Gonzalez this week. So where does that look like for you in your rankings?
Am I excited about Michael Pittman, the guy that is basically worse than Jalen Waddle this year from a consistency standpoint? Gave us a wide receiver 15 last week on a 30% target share, his second highest target share since week one, highest since week four. No, I'm not excited about the guy that gives me a 30% target share and can't jump into the top 12. Has yet to give us a top 12 match game of the year. Has a Christian Gonzalez matchup this week. Has a Josh Downs problem. Has an Adonai Mitchell being better than him problem. Has an Alec Pierce getting, you know, nonsensical multiple deep throws per game targeted towards him, having an Ashton Doolin getting plays built for him, having an animal in the backfield getting carried. Like, it's just, this isn't your, you know, this isn't Michael. This isn't this Michael Pittman thing isn't your Drake London in Atlanta, where it's like, yeah, there's weapons around him, but this is like very funneled. You know, this isn't a situation like Justin Jefferson where it's very funneled. But there's talent around it, but it's very funneled, and you know this guy's going to get some level of consistency. So no, I'm not. I mean, I need to see some more out of Michael Pittman before I believe in it. But again, the way where you drafted him, you kind of just have to play him more than likely. That's just kind of the situation at hand. But as far as belief in him, no. As far as where I have him ranked this week, that's wide receiver 47.
He actually has a really bad cuck score, bottom 10 cuck score this week. Does not look good for Michael Pittman. Last question that I'll ask you about the Colts, because of course we're playing Jonathan Taylor. There's really no discussion needed there. Will we see anything out of AD Mitchell in 2024?
Maybe.
Because Mike and I were talking about this on that last episode of 4D here on the South Harvard Podcast Network. He just looks the part, brother. Like, when you watch him on the field, you go, this guy's got to be nasty, right? And then you're like, why do they keep throwing it to Pierce? Why do they keep doing it? Why won't they highlight this guy in any meaningful way? And I'm just wondering, will we see it at all this year?
Yeah, it's the schedule from here out is pretty light. So, like, Indianapolis hypothetically could make the playoffs if they won the next five games and finished out 10-7. And it's the Patriots by Broncos, Titans, Giants, Jags. Crazier things have happened than to see them win those games out. Usually we see the rookies obviously come out of byes with a bigger role. It's usually the running back position, but the receiver position, we've already seen Adonai get some run. He ran 95% of routes a couple weeks ago. He's had multiple games with 10-plus percent target shares. It's a couple of good opportunities. I think he had a sheesh moment a couple weeks ago from Ian Harditz where I think he caught like a deep ball. I can't remember exactly the play, but it was down the left sideline. Can't remember if he stepped out or overthrown, whatever it was.
No, he was tackled on the one.
Tackled on the one. There you go. And they come out of the bye and they get Pat Surtain and the Broncos, and Surtain should be on Pittman. So it should open up downfield stuff for Pierce and Doolin underneath for Downs, and of course Adonai Mitchell to potentially play a flanker on the opposite side. Then you have the Titans, Giants, and Jags. If it don't happen there, I might get a little worried, but I do think it's going to happen there. I think we're going to get an Adonai, you know, 70, 80 yard receiving game with a touchdown in one of those games.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see a little bit of a flash. Now, on the New England side of things, Ramondre is just your perennial running back two type player. I mean, there's just, he's going to have ups and downs, but the usage is there. The volume's there. You want to play him. I got him at 18. Feels like he's going to be solidified there most of the season. Hunter Henry, not a sexy play, but again, if you're desperate at tight end, he's been pretty good. But the only conversation I really want to have about the Patriots is Drake May this week. Pretty decent matchup, right, against the Colts. I got him at QB 15. I'm not quite there to make him a stud. I think he still has some developing to do. Where do you have him this week? How do you see him handling the Colts?
You got him right where he should be. The last 4 weeks, QB 12, 15, 12, 18. So he's averaging right around that same area. He's showing us a little bit of a level of consistency that's not going to make his dynasty value skyrocket, but it's going to make people that actually watch the game and pay attention to him realize this guy can play football. There's going to be this innate value with Drake May that's here right now and going to be here for the next couple of months if people pay attention before free agency and before the draft happens. I got Drake this week at QB 17, so right in that same area. I just have a couple of guys like Russell Wilson. I had Tua. You probably have Tua off your sheet, so Tua off your sheet bumps him up a spot. So we're pretty much in lockstep here amongst other quarterbacks that, because, like you said, you take your Thursday night guys off. So I think we're going to be pretty much in lockstep. I might be actually a couple spots higher than you when you take off those other guys. But I think it's a good matchup. I think it's fine. I like Drake, and I just think you're going to continue to get a bunch of value with him. Averaging 35 rushing yards per game is just not something I thought we'd be talking about.
Yeah, the kid's athleticism was apparent, and he's used it. He's had to with his offensive line with these weapons. He has to use it. All right, let's move on to another AFC East matchup. This time it's the New York Football Jets hosting the Seattle Supersonic Seahawks, 6-5 versus 3-8. Now, records be damned, this is basically a pick 'em game. Jets are getting 1 point as home dogs, over-under of 42. There's a lot of fantasy-relevant players in this matchup, Cody. These Vegas numbers do not suggest that we should be excited about them, but I am, and I want your thoughts. Just give me the lay of the land. Go through both teams. Give me the lay of the land here. A lot of guys to talk about.
A lot of guys to talk about, and not a lot of guys I want to talk about. Predominantly this Jets side. Reason being, I'm not happy with it. The Rodgers Adams thing has completely not worked. Rodgers has been up to the top 15 literally every week but one since week 3. Adams gets targets, but doesn't really feast. He's been literally out to the top 30 every week he's been there, except for that one game in week 9. Garrett Wilson has had a game and then drop back down to earth, and then a game and then drop back down below earth. He's still wide receiver 6 in the season, but the inconsistencies with that are you know, now showing, especially with another receiver in that room and the running game and the inconsistency at quarterback, kind of like Garrett Wilson's showing a little bit of Amari Cooper, where you get that big game and then it might come right back down to earth crashing. So I've had both these guys ranked as top 12 plays in prior weeks. This week, I have them both in the 20s, kind of near each other, I guess. Garrett Wilson at 20, Devontae Adams at 26. The running back, the Breece Hall thing, it feels to me it's been like just sputtering down on a weekly basis. And he's getting to a point now where he's so low that I don't want to even like talk about him. Like it makes me sick because of how good of a running back he is, where I ranked him. He had a good week last week. He's running back 3, but I got him at running back 19 this week, which I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. That's a little bit cockamamie, but the model likes him. It's a number five matchup for the model, but I don't know. Ken Walker got him at running back 14, so a couple spots ahead of there. I guess the other thing I'll bring up here is just straight up DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Njigba is my highest ranked player amongst all skill positions in this game. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver 12 overall, even though it's a daunting matchup here with the Jets defense. DK Metcalf also comes in at 27.
I don't really have much to add. We're kind of lockstep everywhere, but what I will say about Breece Hall is I don't think it's a cockamamie thing having him there. I am at running back 6, so what we've kind of done is you're ranking him on the probably the in the aggregate of what he's performed like, and I'm ranking him based on the name, the skill, at his peak. So I have him up there still. But I think the moral of this discussion and what people should take from this is you play him, but don't play him in expectation of having a monster game.
Yeah.
You're hoping for a good game. But yeah, I think that his season's been a bit murky. There's been a lot of downs, of course, the ups. He's talented, but this knee thing is concerning. And I'm not saying that. I know I'm not a doctor, but the doctors on X have voiced some concern. So I'm going to listen to some of those guys and at least kind of take it into consideration. So, but yeah, I'm with you on Jaxon Smith. He's gonna avoid a lot of DJ Reed and a lot of Sauce Gardner, and the way Gardner's playing, fuck it, bring him on. I think JSN, the way he's playing, I think he'll snatch Ahmad Gardner's. He's lost the nickname in New York. They're not calling him Sauce no more. They're calling him Ahmad because he ain't bringing that sauce. So I think he'll ball out. And I will say this about Jackson, because he plays predominantly in the slot, unless Jeff Albrecht and his defense shifts one of those corners to the inside. I don't think that happens. So the Cuck model has JSN number one this week.
Let's go.
Number one. If they do not bring one of those outside corners in, which they historically don't, this could be a feast day for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Another feast day is what I should say, because he's had one on Thursday for Thanksgiving, and actually he's just been feasting over the last month. So we love that. This next game, let's make it quick skis, because I don't know if there's a whole lot of takeaways. Tennessee Titans head over to play the Washington Commanders, a battle of 3-8, 7-5. Commanders, Vegas picked up on that fraudulent smell from last week, because this over-under is now down to 5.5. 5.5-point favorites, 44.5 over-under. I mean, it's just pretty surface here. I think we're excited about who we're excited about, we're not excited about who we're not excited about. But if there's any talking points here, let me have it before we move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Not really a lot there.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing Jaden. He's been awesome. You're playing Terry. He's been awesome. You're playing Ridley. He's been awesome. You're playing Pollard. He's been awesome. But there's not much to talk about. Brian Robinson's going to play, it looks like, so we like him.
Is what was the Eckler thing? Did we get an Eckler news back?
It was just a vicious concussion. I didn't rank him, but I will. But I got
no. I know, but I'm referencing the other backs in the backfield. Like, did we get a DMP? So
yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to get a Friday thing in yet. But I'm assuming Eckler's not going to play.
Right.
So that's kind of your assumption as well. He's pretty much out.
I didn't rank him.
Okay.
They already elevated Chris Rodriguez to the active roster. Feels like he's not going to play. And I mean, I said we like B-Rob. I got him at 22, and again, that's with the edited rankings. I probably would look elsewhere. T-Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons in the middle makes things so tough. And if B-Rob's not at 100%, I think he could have a tough game. I think I'm going to drop in my rankings right now.
I rank Jeremy McNichols ahead of Brian Robinson. So I guess I lied. There was one thing that I probably should have brought up. That was it.
Oh, I'm glad you brought it up. But yeah, I think I'm going to move Brian Robinson behind Jalen Warren right now, behind Gus Edwards, behind Javonte. It's just going to be tough sledding for a guy who's not 100%.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I see it. And I like the McNichols call, because I think in this game, if Eckler was healthy, this would be a game I'd have Eckler ahead. Because I think if there is going to be success out of the backfield, it's going to be on dump offs. And it's clear as day that McNichols is the Austin Eckler fill-in. Chris Rodriguez projects more as a Brian Robinson type of bruiser through the tackle type guy. And on the Titans side, it's Pollard. It's Ridley. We're loving the Nick Westbrook Akine and best ball. He's just been a best ball gad this year. But targets aren't there. I really struggle to get him in my lineup leagues and feel good about it. But let's move on to the next game, a battle in the NFC South. Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to play the Carolina Panthers, 5-6 versus 3-8. Buccaneers are getting 6 points as home or road favorites. This number kind of stuck out to me. 46.5 over under. I think we're going to like this for fantasy. What say you?
I think so. I think Carolina's played some different football this last month. They won two games, obviously. They had that game. I think that game against Kansas City was winnable. These guys played two times over the next 5 weeks. And I think Bryce has found, with that win a couple weeks ago, who was the first win against? The first win came against, wasn't Jacksonville. Who the hell was it? No, I don't even know why I'm pulling a blank here. New Orleans. That first win against New Orleans, the smile on his face and his reaction to it, you could tell he kind of felt, got a little glow back.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fair. Even with the just goober level talent around him, David Moore leading this team in targets last week.
Yep.
Adam Thielen's back. Xavier Leggett is just, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's super talented, but he's just not your ideal X. Jatavion Sanders dumped on his head, loses him in the middle of the game. This is just, and they somehow battle with the Carolina, with the Kansas City Chiefs until the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina seems like they found new life, and I think it's on Bryce Young, on in his head. I think this will be a good game. You know, I do think you're going to get enough here, but from a fantasy football perspective, am I to believe, and speak if you want, but am I to believe that David Moore or an Adam Thielen or an Xavier Leggett or, you know, Jatavion obviously dumped on his neck. We'll see what that looks like as the Friday injury report comes through to see if Jatavion's going to play this week. Am I to believe that this is just going to be, and Coker didn't practice all week anyway. So right. That's the receiver that I would like to probably play. Chuba Hubbard against a pretty good defensive line. I just don't know who I really want to touch here on the Tampa Bay side of things. You got Mike Evans back last week, not 100%. They dusted the Giants. He's going to be fine. The running game, I think, is probably the thing I want to probably hang my hat on the most for Tampa. But as far as Mike Evans goes, I think Mike Evans is probably like the one shining star of this game that, sure, I'll play him. Mike, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's my wide receiver six. Like, obviously, a little bit more than sure I'll play him, but it's the one thing that I feel the most confidence in is Mike Evans. I got a little confidence in Chuba just because of the consistency of him getting the carries, but Jonathan Brooks is there. They gave him a touch last week. We'll see if he gets a little bit more this week. The Bucky Irving, Rashad White thing is going to continue to be weird.
And I think you Sean play Tucker both, gets though.
His, Sean Tucker gets his touchdown. I guess the, you know, I, what do you think of the receiving game in Carolina? Like, can they, how, who, what do you do with that in fantasy football? Like, David Moore, should he be ranked as a top 25 guy?
No. I the answer for me when it comes to pass catchers on Carolina is just no. I don't want any of them. I have Thielen ranked the highest. I think he could be most consistent. I know Moore kind of had a good game. So I do have him inside my top 50. But I'm not excited about it. I'm not excited about the player, I'll say this, in the passing game I was most excited about, probably isn't going to play for the next few weeks. That's Jadavion Sanders.
Yeah.
He was in line for a big game last week. They were starting to go to him deep. They were starting to go to him in the red zone. And then, of course, you know, he fell on top of his helmet. And, you know, we were hoping for the best. It seems like he'll be fine. So that's great. And I'm very excited of his long-term abilities. I'm very excited to see him get back on the field. But for me, this is really just a clean sweep of Buccaneers players. I like Baker. I like Evans. I like Otten just fine. I like both both White and Irving. I think that they're both good. Irving's awesome. This is a very soft matchup for running backs. I think this is a game where the divisional aspect, the continuity aspect of the Panthers playing better, I think this is a close game. I do think that the 46.5 over-under, I think they approach it. I just don't know where it comes from, the Panthers side, so I'm not betting on anyone other than Chuba Hubbard. But on the Buccaneers side, I like it. The ones that we were supposed to like, I like. So I'm going to go and play those guys. Now let's move on to the next game. The 5-6 LA Rams head to Nolens to take on the 4-7 Saints. It's basically a pick 'em, given that It's a 3-point spread with the home team getting the 3 points, 49.5 point over under. Give it to me. We love the Rams players, right? Are we? Is there anyone on the Rams side that we're fading, or are we just firing off all players on the Rams?
Firing off all players in the Rams. The Tyler Higbee thing that dropped yesterday, did he get activated, or was he just
the window? I believe opened. I think the window opened. I think he opened up the window. Windows open. I don't think he's activated yet. But does it matter when Puka and Cooper Kupp are on the field? Kyren Williams, isn't it just the 3-man race? Isn't it just those three guys? It'll be a smattering of Tutu, a smattering of Tyler Johnson, a smattering of DeMarcus Robinson, maybe some Davis Allen and Tyler Higbee. Don't really matter. It's Stafford going to his double dragons and Kyren Williams, a healthy, healthy dose of Kyren Williams. I have all of these guys ranked pretty high. My Stafford ranking is going to change right now because I know on paper the Saints have been bad for quarterbacks. It feels like when he has his receivers, it doesn't matter. I mean, he had over 20 fantasy points last week against the Eagles. Eagles have been nasty. And I look at my rankings. I have Puka at 4, Cooper Kupp at 6, and I'm not changing that. So I need to jump up my guy, my Matthew Stafford a lot higher than I have him. Where do you have Stafford?
I love Puka. Matthew Stafford I have at quarterback 14 this week. In that same game, Derek Carr all the way down there at 25. That's a stay away at this point. I do think there's going to be enough points scored in this game. I just don't believe that it, with Taysom Hill's current kind of output, I have no want to watch this game or believe in this game and be like, oh, look at that. And all of a sudden it's number 7 when he turns his shoulder pads that throws the freaking Hail Mary 60 yards downfield. And yeah. I just don't want that. That's the most agonizing shit of all time to see. You know, I've done that, and I think everybody has. They've looked at something and go, ooh, Derek Carr, big duh. Shit, Taysom Hill. So, yeah, I got Cooper Kupp at 11, Puka Nacua at wide receiver 3 this week. I think my highest-ranked New Orleans Saints wide receiver comes in at, like, wide receiver 75. I think that's the only one I got ranked. It's MVS.
It's crazy. But, he's had 2 games. He's had 2 good games.
But, like, how?
This offense just supports a player like that. Like, I'm sorry, maybe this is blasphemy, but MVS is, I mean, that's just what Rashid Shaheed is. They're tall, fast receivers that can get ball downfield. He's been Rashid Shaheed since he's been in New Orleans.
So
he's worth breaking.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, Cody's, yeah, no, I do. I completely understand.
I'm not really saying anything, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's MVS on his 5th team in the last year and a half. Like, I completely understand what you're saying, and it's warranted, but you got to rank him. He's the only guy in that pass-catching scheme that has any semblance of confidence, of excitement, so you got to rank him. Of course, isn't we love Kamara.
Weird? Isn't it weird that a guy can just get a DUI or suspicion of DUI and then just play the next, like, 4 days later?
Yeah, it's the NFL. They don't give a fuck.
It's like gets buried, just disappears.
Yeah, it's buried. They don't care. It's not a superstar. They don't give a shit. Just bury him.
So right, nuts.
Let's talk about Taysom. You said you had him ranked where? What are your expectations of it?
Too high. Too high.
So you're just betting on the reports that they are going to use him like crazy, because that's what the coach said. The coach said, you know, we had success using Taysom all over the place. We're going to go back to that.
I mean, he was tight end 1 technically last 2 weeks ago when they played. He was tight end 5 in week 9. The 2 weeks, week 8 and week 10, between those wide receiver, tight end 20, goddamn, positionally, this guy, tight end 27 and 22. They're just banged up everywhere. And I hate Taysom Hill. He's probably a good dude. I hate the idea of Taysom Hill as a fantasy gamer because it's the most. It's not the most agonizing. It's one of the most agonizing things.
He can be a complete game wrecker. He can ruin everything.
It's a game wrecker, but it's not like it's not like a Tyreek Hill thing where it's like, oh, I got Tyreek Hill. Watch this. He could go for 50, but he's definitely going for 20. You know, in his heyday, right. It's like, hey, I got this wild card at tight end. That's not really, you know, there's no real expectation from this guy. He can give you complete zero. Or he could straight up just give you a goddamn 44. And you're like,
right.
What? Like, it tilts the field so inordinate. I don't know. It's such a weird thing, especially with the tight end position being what the tight end position is. So I got him at five, just kind of as what I feel is a good drop point from the top four guys, who are Bowers, McBride, Hockenson, and Kelsey. And I think Kelsey and Hill I have just here as like the 4-5 together, because that's it for me. Like, I love 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5. I don't believe Kelsey's going to do a lot, but Kelsey just gets that ranking for me to stay there. It's a good matchup. He is what he is. And then mm-hmm. Hill, and then everybody else is kind of falls in line behind that. Maybe it's cowardly, but it's what it is.
No, you got to rank it this way. That's what they're telling us it's going to be. For me, I'm just it's a prove it deal, it prove it type week. If Taysom Hill's used, not to 40 points, but just in the way that he was used, yeah, he's going to be a perennial top 8 guy, top 5 guy potentially for me, because that usage is unique. And if it means a goal line carry and a red zone catch and a 40-yard pass, that'll equal to good tight end production given, you know, the absolute shit that position usually gives up. This next game is probably the game of the week, but it doesn't really need much of our time, to be honest. It's the 9-2 Philadelphia Eagles heading to Baltimore to take on the 8-4 Ravens. Eagles are laying 3 points as road underdogs, over under 50.5. It's just all systems go, right? There's nothing to talk about here. It's just you smoke them if you got them.
This is a fuck yeah game. This is a head nod, fuck yeah game of the week. Eagles, Ravens, you're playing everybody because you're watching this thing. You're watching this thing all the way through snap one to snap 97. Mark Andrews might give you a donut, but I don't care. I'm playing Mark Andrews. Like, I want everybody in this game, because this game has the abilities to be 38-35, and you're just, 75 total pass attempts, 700 total yards from the line of scrimmage, in combined. Lots of fun, lots of scoring, lots of plays, lots of football, lots of good, good, good football, and maybe not a lot of defense.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. I'm with you. You fired up. And for anyone that's worried, it is the outdoor game, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't look like it's going to be all that concerning. The weather-wise would be a little cold, but they're big boys. They play football outside. They're not really affected by whether it's going to be dry. Most indications – yeah, it's going to be moderate wins, nothing bad. So we're going to fire up everybody here and be very, very excited to watch this game, like you said. All right, two more games in the primetime windows. First one's very interesting. 5-6 San Francisco 49ers head up to Orchard Park to take on the 9-2 Buffalo Bills. Niners are touchdown underdogs on the road. The over-under 43.5. It's a little bit low on paper, but it's going to probably even go down. The weather, my friend, looks like we're going to get a winter wonderland. Winter storm warnings are in effect through the Sunday night frame. Could have a lot of winds, a lot of snow. This is going to hurt fantasy production. I don't want to say it, but with the Purdy injury, I think I'm fading everybody on the Niners not named Christian McCaffrey.
I don't think you're wrong, except if I'm going to fade somebody, I think I'm going to – If I'm not gonna fade somebody, it's gonna be George Kittle.
Oh, you got me there. I do have one. Yeah, I have Kittle ranked high, so yeah, I'm not fading Kittle.
McCaffrey, I guess I'm innately fading him. I don't know. I don't know what the consensus is, because I don't consume consensus. But Alex and Trashman, for what I read, they have him at 5-6. Model has it at 4. I have him at 12. He's been right in that range as far as his output goes this year. This kid's got double Achilles tendonitis. I'm just going to keep on saying that because it's what it is. He's been running back 10, 13, and 20. That's in a negative down the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if it's going to be cold and windy and snowy, I'm not sure I want the guy. This guy kind of fucked up Achilles, and he's got a little tendonitis in both of his legs playing in cold weather. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, it can work. I mean, I know how it's going to work. The guy's an NFL professional athlete, but I'm just saying, like, if something's going to go wrong, it might be that guy rather than the cheeseburger eating wide receiver. Maybe
I just changed him completely in my rankings. He is part of the fade team. George Kittle is the only non-Niner fade. I just want to say that I do hope that Purdy can play at a decent level, because the game itself will just be better if it's not fucking slapdick Brandon Allen. If that's the case, I think, I mean, it's going to be a complete bully beatdown. complete dismantling from one team to the next. I still like James Cook as a top 15 back, but I do think that in the snow, could we see more Ray Davis?
Hopefully.
Right? You would think that it would just be a power run game galore, because the interior linemen for the Niners have been subpar all year, and they could just play a little bit of that bully ball with Ray Davis and James Cook, kind of a little Sonic and Knuckles of their own. Last question I'm going to ask you about this game before we move on to Monday Night Football. Is this the week where we see Amari Cooper do anything?
No.
No.
Not the Amari Cooper game. It's in the snow. I mean, no. How about in SoFi next week on the road indoors?
That sounds more like it. I don't have him ranked as having the Amari game. I got him at wide receiver 36 this week.
How about I'll tell you today, I'll have Amari Cooper as a top 12 wide receiver next week.
Planting the flag early. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, let's end this some bitch up here with Monday Night Football. The 3-8 Browns head to the Mile High Stadium to take on the 7-5 Denver Broncos. The Broncos are given 5.5 points as home favorites, over under 41.5. Not really exciting. Doesn't project a lot of fantasy points. I want to start with the pass catchers of either team. I want to talk about Courtland Sutton and Cedric Tillman. One's been on fire. One hopefully can suit up after a concussion. But let's start with Sutton. He's nasty. Are we going back to the Sutton well? Where do you have him ranked for week
13? We have to go back to Courtland Sutton. Why? I mean, low key, it came on pretty quick, I guess. Not low key, but high key, low key, quickly since week 8. So week 1 through 7, this guy had yet to clip top 20, 50, 60, 52, 23, 76 since week 8. Week 8 on wide receiver 11, 6, 5, 23, and 2 for Courtland Sutton. And this matchup this week, it Cleveland always feels like it should be looked at as like, oh, this is going to be a tough-ass mashup. Denzel, Delpit, et cetera, Greg Newsom. These guys are little itty-bitties. These corners are little
itty-bitties. They haven't been good this year, to be honest. They haven't really been great.
And they haven't been great. Yeah, they're itty-bitties, and they haven't been great. I got Courtland Sutton at wide receiver 7. I think he deserves to be there. It's actually a top 5 matchup, not a bottom 5 matchup against the Cleveland Browns back in. I think this is one where Bo Nix is going to be able to control the game. They've been a little bipolar this year. Win, lose 2, win 3, win 2, lose 2, win 2. You know, they got this game to go into the bye at 8-5. They're coming guns a-blazing for this one here after that win against the Raiders last week. Browns need a win badly to do anything. They're sandwiched this Bronco game in between a Steelers Thursday nighter and a Steelers on the road. This is a game that the Browns need as well, but the Broncos are the team in playoff contention. So I like the Broncos to pull through here. And Big Daddy Bo, this guy has his ticket punched into my top 10, you know, potentially for the rest of his career. We'll just see what happens, but potentially for the rest of his career, I'm going to have this cat in the top 10 on my weekly rankings. Got him at quarterback 6. I mean, this guy has been definition of sick, nasty. 2, 4, 5, 5, kind of up 5 top 10 finishes over the course of the last 8 weeks.
Yeah, Bo's my QB 6. Sutton is my wide receiver 9. It's been good for the Broncos. We're going to keep firing up. Running back-wise, stay away if you can, because it doesn't – clearly it's hot hand. Clearly it doesn't matter. Could be Estime, could be McLaughlin, could be Javonte. So I'm just completely, completely, completely staying away. Chubb, you can play him. He's a decent RB2 flex-type guy now. Yeah. But it's not exciting, especially in this matchup. I think this is the type of game where Sean Payton's going to get the guys ready to rock. You know, the Jameis magic only goes so far. I think this defense gets after it. And I think that this team, I think this is a big, big, big victory for the Broncos. And another big, big victory for the walkthrough week 13. He's Cody Carpentier. I'm Matty Q. Make sure you head over to southharmonff.com. Get everything. We got a deal going, Black Friday deal. Cody, tell the people what they can get on discount, baby.
Use that code BLACKFRIDAY50. You can get the Warp Worshipper for 50% off for a month over there at southharmon.com. Warp Worshipper, Matty Q uses it on a daily basis to win his fantasy leagues. It is the tool that you need to help you get through. The deal is only available until Saturday at noon Eastern time, so go check it out right now at southharmon.com. Code BLACKFRIDAY50 to help you win that fantasy football championship over the course of the next month.
Get that Warp Tour, baby. 50% off SouthHarmonFF.com. Get it. And we'll see you next week for the week 14 walkthrough. Peace.